My apologies for the technical difficulties, everyone. This is Introduction to RavenDB, starting just a little bit late. This is NoSQL rapping at your door. So my name is David Neal. I go by Reverend Geek on Twitter, and when I blog, I rarely blog, but when I do, it's on reverendgeek.com or freshbrewedcode.com. As Freshbrewed Code is a great community of bloggers, and I highly recommend it, you check it out. I'm coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee, or there, or very close to it. And this talk today on RavenDB has three goals. We want to cover why you should consider NoSQL database over a traditional relational database, why I believe RavenDB is a great NoSQL database solution for .NET developers, and basic skills to get you up and running and productive with RavenDB. Now, normally I would spend a good amount of time giving you an introduction of the whys and wherefores that we want to look at NoSQL databases, and we'll get to that. But I realize that some of you have a short attention span and are looking for a quick win to picking up RavenDB. So let's just skip straight to some demo code so you guys can get an idea of what RavenDB looks like, what documents look like in RavenDB. So this first code sample is the very basics of what you need to get up and running and connected to RavenDB and storing a document. Now, this is, imagine a person class that has a first name, last name, email, a list of addresses, a list of phone numbers. We want to store this class and its collections of addresses and phone numbers into RavenDB. So the first step, or the first concept to understand about RavenDB is this document store. We need to create and initialize a document store. It's an expensive one-time operation that needs to be for the lifetime of your application. A lot of people will set this up either in their dependency injection, you know, is this kind of like a session factory. You guys who have maybe used in Hibernate may recognize this as being similar to an in Hibernate session factory. And also notice that the connection string is a URL. All communication with RavenDB is through a REST-based web service. Next, we need to create a document session. A session is very lightweight, and it's designed to be used for a small set of commands and then quickly disposed. So you create the document store once, and then you can create sessions as often and as frequently as you need. So we make changes to create our object and set some properties on it. And there's nothing special about this particular class. There's no, you know, there's nothing we need to decorate on it. It's just POCO, a plain old class object. And so we create a person, and we then store that person, which adds this object to Raven. You know, it's kind of like RavenDB's queue of commands for this particular session. And this also instructs RavenDB to start tracking this object. And then last, when we call store or save changes, this batches up all pending changes and commands and submits those to the RavenDB server. So it's useful to point out that you can call store multiple times, but it actually won't communicate with RavenDB until you call this save changes. This is an example of what this document will look like. RavenDB, or when we call save changes, the RavenDB client serializes our class and its collections to JSON and stores in RavenDB as a JSON document. JSON, of course, if you're not familiar, stands for JavaScript Object Notation, and it's become an internet standard for representing objects and data across the wire. Our next example is showing you how to load an existing document and update it. Again, we create our document store, that's left off the slide, and we open our, we create our session, and next we call session.load, giving it the type of document that we want to load and the document ID. Now, the document ID is this funky string. This is a RavenDB convention, part of its RESTful web service infrastructure. It allows documents to be addressable across multiple servers. And when we start talking about RavenDB's capabilities to scale beyond just one server, it's useful to have being able to address documents that are, you know, could be located on different servers. And so that's part of the reason for this convention. You can override it, however, and use integers or some other custom ID generator, but there are some benefits to using this out-of-the-box ID generator. In this example, we're changing the list of phone numbers, and also notice that we don't have to call session.store on this object. When we call session.load, RavenDB has already put its hooks into this entity and is tracking any changes to this entity for us. So when we call save changes, it automatically knows that this person object has changed and makes those changes to the document in the RavenDB database. Now, querying in RavenDB is where it shines for .NET developers specifically. Querying is done using familiar link syntax. It supports ad hoc queries. Lucene.NET, so in this example, we're looking at querying a person, and we're saying, give us all persons where the address, any of their addresses has a city equal to Nashville. And part of one of the really, really powerful features of RavenDB is that it has built-in Lucene.NET, which is a powerful indexing, full-text indexing engine. And it allows us to do extremely powerful searches, such as sounds like and proximity searching. Proximity searching, you know, is where we can search for two different terms, and we want them to be, in the same document, but we want them to be located near each other. They don't have to be an exact phrase. They could be within three or four words of each other. There's lots of things you can do with Lucene that are exposed in RavenDB. Deleting a document, an existing document in RavenDB, is pretty straightforward. We load a person by ID, and we can call session.delete on this entity, and then we can call delete as many times as we need to, and then batch those changes up with the save changes. On this slide, I'm giving you an example of just how simplistic the RavenDB client is, and this is a great testament to how productive a .NET developer can be with RavenDB, because there's not a whole lot of surface area that you have to learn. RavenDB client is actually, from a developer standpoint, a beautiful to behold. And you can, on load, you can pass not just one ID, but you can load multiple documents by passing in an array of IDs. The include method instructs RavenDB to also fetch other document types at the same time, similar to joins, so that you can reduce round trips. If you have documents that reference other documents, you can use this include method to load those documents automatically. Query, as we already looked at, uses link syntax, allows you to target, also allows you to target specific indexes. Delete and store and save changes. And then, you know, those five commands, load, query, delete, store, and save changes, essentially give you almost everything you need to do with RavenDB. And then all the other stuff that is a little bit more dangerous, that you use a whole lot less often, is under the advanced, and that's where it's all nicely tucked away. Just beware that, you know, there are places in there that you have to know what you're doing. But again, by far, almost everything you need to do with Raven EB is in these five commands. This is a great quote that I saw on Twitter a while back. Sometimes I forget that I have a database. That's how little I worry about RavenDB. All right, so we've looked at RavenDB briefly, and now we're going to get back into our discussion of why RavenDB, why we want to look at NoSQL databases over relational databases. And I want to say up front that I'm not here to throw, you know, I'm not saying we should throw out or throw away relational databases. There are important things that we've learned over the years about data modeling and storage and operations, and there's still a place for relational databases. My point is, in today's talk, is to show you how document databases are, in some scenarios, a better fit. For about 15 plus years, relational databases have dominated the developer landscape. Things have changed and alternative technologies have emerged and matured. I've been guilty of assuming for years that every project requires a relational database, and I bet many of you are guilty of the same. But we all know that, you know, one size does not always fit all. So let's talk about some of the mismatches between relational databases and the kind of problems that we have to solve as developers. Relational databases, whether it be online transaction processing or OLAP for data warehousing, there's relational databases are optimized for reads or optimized for writes. And most for transactions, relational databases are really optimized for writes. And something I've heard over the years that I think is a great saying is you normalize a database until it hurts, and you denormalize until it works. Relational databases have, you know, with schemas and enforcing constraints, There are always some pain points around what we do in our objects and translating those objects into tables and columns and rows. Your schemas are from a database design standpoint, you know, we understand third normal form, we understand columns and rows and all these constraints that we put around our data, whether types are nullable, you know, different constraints, foreign key relationships. We really put it, you know, as from on the database side, we put a lot of effort into making sure our database is, you know, has all the safety and everything that we expect. But it also comes at a cost of pain to on the development side. For example, a customer object, you know, could mean different things to different people, different departments. So if you start a software project and you're putting in a customer account for an accounting department, and then later on sales comes along and says, we want to use this same database and we want to be able to store our customers in this database. But they, you know, they're lucky to have a first name and a phone number. And so now all these constraints that are around the data that are existing, you know, the requirement, you know, where some fields are required or are not, you now have to then refactor this database and allow, you know, break all these rules that you've put in place. We've done things to get around the constraints of SQL Server or relational databases by doing things like coming up with our own property bag type tables or key value tables. We've done things, we have XML data types in SQL Server to try to get around some of the nature of, of the data that we need to store that doesn't quite fit in the table, column and row structure. Our software craftsmanship has continued to evolve and improve. We've gotten smarter about object-oriented programming and object model design. For example, in domain-driven design, there's this concept of aggregate routes. And if you have an order that has line items, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for your application to know how to retrieve a single line item out of that order. Instead, you retrieve the order, and the order is responsible for loading up all the line items and all the other data and collections that are associated with that order. And when you do that, you now have this elegant object model in code, but translating that to a relational database requires an explosion of tables and foreign keys and joins. And when you're writing this data out to the database and retrieving it back, requires a lot of stuff over the wire, a lot of complex queries, a lot of joins, and it gets to be really nasty business. And for this reason, as an industry, we've created object relational mappers, ORMs like InHibernate and Entity Framework to help us manage this pain. But again, in the long run, it's still you may have heard the term an impedance mismatch, where the relational model is just not a good fit for expressing our objects in storage. And also the problem comes up that when you have these objects and you're using a object relational mapper like InHibernate or Entity Framework, you begin to, we think, well, we have an ORM now. We don't have to worry about that. We can just let the ORM handle the translation to the tables and everything is good. The problem there is ORMs are really a leaky abstraction. When you start running into performance problems and you realize that to retrieve one object requires multiple trips to the database, or you have to start thinking about lazy loading and prefetching depending on different scenarios, you really have to learn a whole lot more about your relational database than you ever thought you would have to. And there are a lot of problems with ORMs around these what we call select N+1 errors. If you've ever done this, if you have an application and you launch SQL Profiler or some other tool for monitoring the transactions between your application and your relational database, just to render one page or one screen of your application, how many database calls does it take to do that? And so in most cases, it's shocking that one page in a web application or one screen in a WinForms application ends up making hundreds of database calls to fill all the data up for that page. And so ORMs are leaky abstractions. It's great. I have an ORM, but I don't have to worry about queries. But, oh, wait, yes, I do. Now let's talk about scalability. When your relational database gets too large, what do you do? I've heard it said you either run out of hardware or you run out of budget. Scalability in for a relational database is not a great story. I'll tell you a little bit about my company. I work for a company called Cell Journalist, and we do media for TV news stations and radio and newspapers. And we have news stations across the country that use our platform. And when I came to work for Cell Journalist, it was predominantly, it was InHibernate and SQL Server, and we had the biggest database we could get at our dedicated hosting facility, and we would see spikes in activity on our sites that would just really melt our system. And so that's the issue, is where do we go from there? We can do intelligent things like caching, and to try to get the most performance out of our existing database. We can get better at prefetching data and not making so many database calls all at once, but that all those things to try to get the most performance out of a relational database, there comes a limit, and that limit is you have to then start thinking of other creative ways of solving the scale issue besides just throw more hardware at it. Indexing is a law of diminishing returns. The more indexes you add to increase read performance on your database, the more overhead you add to your relational database. And so to every time you write to your database, it has to update all these indexes, and it becomes it adds a huge amount of overhead. And so the more indexes you add, the slower your database can become. And so one way around this issue is that we, at the cost of increased complexity, we may just break up our database and have like a multi-tenant solution where we have one customer on one server, another customer on another server, and we try to separate those connections. But that comes at a cost of an operational cost. It comes at deployment and maintenance. It becomes much more costly to maintain that kind of a solution. And so then what happens when a single tenant of this database can still grow to be larger than a single database can handle? Then we have to look at things like sharding data, and sharding for a relational database is not a great story. We basically have to throw out all the benefits of a relational database, such as our foreign key constraints and other unique constraints and all those things that we like about relational databases. We can no longer enforce if our data is living on more than one server at the same time. So we face big challenges today in our current world. We live in a microwave society. Our customers have high expectations. Our competition continues to raise the bar, and we expectations are higher, and we need to build our applications bigger and better and faster. We have richer and more responsive, interactive UIs that we need to create, and so this puts a lot of pressure on us being productive as developers. And frankly, the challenges of using a relational database in these larger, especially these larger scenarios where scalability is an issue, it's not something we want, because at the end of the day, we want to create business value. We want to spend our time focused on solving the business needs, solving the business problems, bringing value to our customers, bringing value to our stakeholders, instead of fighting fires and dealing with scalability problems. We can't afford to continue looking at a relational database as the only solution. You've probably heard the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I would say, as a corollary, continuing to apply the wrong pattern to a problem will suck the life out of you and your project and your organization and your budget. So come along the NoSQL rebels. Today we have many alternatives to relational databases. In many cases, the primary driver has been scalability. You want to distribute in storage of your data across cheaper commodity hardware, across multiple servers, to kind of take advantage of economies of scale that way. There are many flavors of NoSQL today, such as key value stores, document databases, object graph databases, Each of these solutions have been created with a specific design goals, such as scalability, fault tolerance, optimized for reads or writes. But you have to keep in mind that some of these optimizations come as trade-offs to others. And because of these different design goals, it makes it hard to compare NoSQL solutions with each other. And often these differences in key areas of expertise, if you will, create polarized arguments on both sides. And so, you know, it's just like any other area of software development. These arguments can reach religious proportions. So what about RavenDB? Now, RavenDB was created by Oren Eni, also known as Ayinde Rahim. He was a champion of in-Hibernate for many years. A few years ago, he began investigating the NoSQL database options that were available. And he came to the conclusion that there really wasn't a good solution for .NET developers. And he decided it was about time that somebody created one. And if you've ever followed any of Oren's blog posts and, you know, his contributions to in-Hibernate and the community, or even, you know, some of his posts in recent years around RavenDB, you know, Oren is a very, very smart man. But, you know, in tackling this NoSQL problem for .NET developers, he brought years of in-Hibernate API and industry data storage experience. And in turn, what his team has created is a native .NET API. It's a familiar link syntax that .NET developers are familiar with. A very concise, easy-to-use API, which we've already looked at in our code samples. And in my opinion, it is the most productive NoSQL solution for .NET developers. So RavenDB and scalability. So out of the box, RavenDB supports storing documents across to specific servers, across different servers. You can customize sharding strategies so that you can distribute data across multiple servers. You can shard data by document type or some kind of ID naming strategy. You can also RavenDB also supports replication. You can set up replication between a master server and multiple slaves, or you can set up master-master scenarios where you have all the master servers talk to each other and keep things in sync, and you can make changes to any one of those, and RavenDB ensures that all those other databases that it knows about or is aware of as part of this cluster are also get updated. These updates are done in the background in parallel in batches. So it's very efficient. RavenDB supports transactions, which is a pretty big deal, and maybe as far as I know, maybe the only NoSQL solution currently available, at least with .NET transaction support. So you can wrap your code with transaction scope just as you would with working with SQL Server, and have some guarantees that everything that you are doing in this transaction scope will either succeed or be rolled back. RavenDB, as one of its design goals, is safe by default. There's no such thing as an unbound result set. If you query RavenDB, and it does support ad hoc queries, if you do not specify what your page size is, RavenDB will limit the number of results that it returns to 128. And if you are kind of silly and you say, well, I want 10,000 items in my result set, RavenDB will say, no, I don't think you do. And so it limits to 1024 by default. Now these safe by default parameters are configurable. You can change, you know, the defaults of how many it will return. But these are safeguards. These are limits that, you know, when it alerts you of these kinds of things, it'll cause you to pause and think, well, maybe I'm not doing something right. And case in point, there's another safe by default feature in RavenDB that there are no unbound number of requests. The max number of requests in a single session in RavenDB is 30. So if you open a session and you store 30 documents, when you go to store that 31st document, RavenDB will throw an exception and alert you that you may be doing something wrong in your code, or maybe you should rethink your solution. And this in itself is to prevent these N plus one errors that we were talking about with the relational or ORMs earlier. So if you are retrieving documents and you're looping through those documents, and then at the same time you're looping through, you're also making more and more database calls, RavenDB is going to blow up on you. And it's doing that to help you realize that you're doing something wrong if you're doing that much work with RavenDB in a single session. That session.advanced properties is where you would go, and I think there's some document, there's some conventions you can set or configuration options you can set on RavenDB when you create your document store that sets some of these parameters. But again, RavenDB is safe by default. RavenDB is extensible. It ships with a number of plugins, also referred to as bundles. And so it allows you to pick and choose what features you want RavenDB to have, and so that you also, at the same time, you don't suffer the overhead of those features that you don't want. If you don't need replication, obviously you don't need to turn that feature on, and RavenDB is not going to be performing that work in the background to check to see if documents need to be replicated. Some of the plugins that ship with RavenDB are versioning. Versioning is one that allows you to, it keeps a history, kind of like a Wikipedia or something, that it stores old versions of documents for you. There's an authorizations plugin for security, authentication, OAuth plugin, replication we talked about. There's a plugin called expiration, which allows you to configure certain document types to expire after a given period of time. This might be good for like temporary session data or temporary shopping carts, or any number of scenarios. There's quotas where you can enforce how much storage a client or application uses. There's cascade deletes. There's a plugin called More Like This, so that when you retrieve a document, it automatically, based on configuration, will give you a list of other documents that are associated or like the document that you're looking at. There's unique constraints. And as part of the API, that client API that RavenDB provides, you can write your own plugins. RavenDB exposes events and other ways to hook into the pipeline, so that you can do interesting things or do custom things with the existing replication or whatever. So in practical terms, RavenDB, or not just RavenDB, but NoSQL in general, you want to take a pragmatic approach. You can dial in as much NoSQL goodness as you need for your application. Now, if you're looking at a greenfield project, if you're starting from scratch, NoSQL may be what you want to use from the get-go. Or if you have an existing application, you may want to use NoSQL as a complement to your relational database. Some people use it in a scenario where they're using NoSQL or RavenDB as a view model cache. So when you're retrieving all these documents, or I'm sorry, you're retrieving all these records out of your relational database, and you're munging them together and making them, getting them prepared to send down to your MVC views, for example, you may want to just go ahead and save that representation off to RavenDB. So the next time you come to view that page, you can just retrieve, just like a cache, you can retrieve that document already prepared. There's a plugin for RavenDB called Index Replication, and that allows you to, each time a document is created, updated, deleted, it can push those changes to a relational database. So this is one way you can be using RavenDB today and still keep a relational database up to date with all your current data. And I will say that RavenDB is great for a lot of things, but RavenDB, and as well as most other NoSQL solutions, is not well suited for reporting queries and ad hoc querying and so forth. You still probably want a relational database to do those kinds of things. So this index replication scenario might be good for replicating your data to a relational database in the background, so that you have the ability to query and report off of that. At my company, we kind of do the opposite. We're still using a relational database, but we use in Hibernate. In Hibernate exposes some events itself that anytime you update create an entity, update, delete, all those kind of events, you can do some work. You can hook into those events and do additional work. We hook into those events to then kick off synchronization tasks to our message queue. There's a process that's listening on this message bus that picks up those synchronization events and then synchronizes the entities that are in SQL Server to RavenDB automatically. So we have RavenDB, problem solved, right? Well, there are some challenges with RavenDB and with any NoSQL solution, really. But it does require a different mindset. It's a bit of a paradigm shift. Some of the same patterns that you learn with relational databases don't really apply to document databases. Replication and sharding, if you need to go down those paths, those require some careful planning and some configuration on your part to make sure that you're solving those kind of problems correctly. On the flip side, RavenDB does give you the flexibility to define your own strategies on how data is distributed, so you can really tailor your solution to meet your needs. I mentioned, reporting, SQL Server or relational databases are still very, very strong there. RavenDB does support ad hoc querying. And if your reports are well defined and, you're not doing anything like, giving an end user a tool to develop their own queries, then you can still do some reporting and aggregations and some interesting stuff in RavenDB. So I wouldn't totally discount what RavenDB is capable of doing. RavenDB is still a young product. Right now it's in version 1, soon to be version 1.2. The documentation is still a little bit limited, needs some improvement, but there's a great online community over on their Google groups. If you ever have any problems, Oren himself, as well as some of his team, are very active in the forums over there. If you ever run into issues, anytime I've posted questions on there, They have been extremely responsive. As a matter of fact, just to give you a great story, we've run into some problems, a few bugs at my company with RavenDB, and when I've posted, you know, these issues on the RavenDB Google group, I've gotten responses back from Oren himself, and by the end of the day, the next day, a new build is out and ready for me to use and to test. That's awesome. NoSQL has gained a lot of momentum. RavenDB is about 3 years old, and it's still underappreciated. I think there's a whole lot of goodness there. So to wrap things up, and then we can take some questions. RavenDB, in my opinion, is synonymous with productivity for .NET developers. And you don't need to be the size of Amazon to enjoy the benefits of NoSQL. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Entity Framework Code First that allows you to kind of focus on your code, and this Entity Framework will Code First will take care of schema changes and things for you. I would say RavenDB is not, if not as good or better than that, because of the way documents are serialized to JSON and back out. You don't have to deal with schemas at all. You do have to be careful with upgrades, or if you make, you know, you, it's possible to make breaking changes to your object model. If you rename properties, as long as you're adding new properties, it just works. So old versions of your documents, you know, will load up just fine. You just need to keep in mind that, you know, there are some things that can break older versions of documents, but there's ways in RavenDB to batch update those documents and upgrade them. So, questions, and I don't have the Jabber client up at the moment. Let me jump on and another screen here. While I'm doing that, if you guys, this is my final slide. If you're hungry for more, there's RavenDB.net. That's the Google groups I mentioned. Allende blogs just an insane amount over on his blog. That's a link to my profile if you want to be able to get in contact with me. And again, my Twitter handle is Reverend Geek.
What a lot of people don't necessarily know is that WebGrease is really the sort of next evolution.
Whoops. All right. Well, I don't know. Looks like there's not any questions at the moment. If you guys have any questions, let me know. Yes. Okay, there are actually four ways that you can deploy RavenDB. One is, you know, when you start working with RavenDB, the simplest thing to do is there's a batch file. When you download the zip file and extract it, you can just run the batch file and create an instance, and that gives you a debug console window as well that you can watch the activity between your application and RavenDB. You can see the commands that go across. You can install RavenDB as a Windows service so that it starts up automatically with Windows. You can install RavenDB as an IIS application so that IIS is providing that web interface with RavenDB. And you can install RavenDB or run it in embedded mode. So you can ship the RavenDB database built into your application, and it's up to you whether you want to expose RavenDB to other applications or other services, but it's a great way to deploy RavenDB, like in a shared hosting environment or as a standalone application, and still be able to take advantage of it. I think that that feature was originally created for Silverlight applications, and RavenDB does run in Silverlight and on Mono. As far as I know, the embedded version is no different at all than it's just a different deployment scenario. So there's not a different client. It's just a different way of instantiating the document store. Installing on a web or installing on a server as a Windows service is really easy. There's a server folder in when you extract the RavenDB zip file, and it's at the command line. You type raven.server/install, and that installs the service and gets you up and running. I haven't used the IIS version deployment scenario. I don't know what the security implications are. I do know there's plugins for RavenDB for doing role-based authentication. There's an OAuth. There's authentication as well as I'm drawing a blank. The other version of side of security. Authorization. Yes. I touched on that a little bit. Relational database is still great for doing reporting. NoSQL database is going to shine when you want to reduce the overhead of being able to serialize an entire object graph as a single document. In our scenario where maybe you have an order, and that order contains many line items and may contain other data that's associated with that order, when you store that in RavenDB or a NoSQL database, that all gets serialized and stored as a single document. Whereas in a relational database, you have to break that up into individual tables, and you have to deal with referential integrity. And when you want to retrieve that data back out, you have to make all those joins. And so there's a lot of overhead. It's great for writes, but it's a huge performance penalty on reads. And so that's where NoSQL really shines. Most of the time is on the read side. So when you store a class and the object and object graph into RavenDB, the Raven client stores along with that document a good amount of metadata, and that metadata does include the CLR type that it of the original object. And so RavenDB, although the server itself doesn't really care about the .NET, the native .NET types, it does have all that kind of information, so that when that's how it kind of maps the document types, so you can strongly type with the client. That I don't know a whole lot about. I've not used the transactional support personally. I do know that it's based on DTC, so it's the same transaction support that you have with SQL Server. I also know that, or I'm aware that RavenDB supports different scenarios around concurrency. So like optimistic concurrency. That's about all I can tell you. Well, there's several options. One being replication. If you want to keep two servers in sync all the time, you can install the replication plugin on both servers, and have RavenDB automatically keep those databases in sync. The other options are there's a backup feature in RavenDB, so you can backup and restore. There's also a command line utility called Raven Smuggler. Smuggler allows you to basically write out all the JSON documents, indexes, and there's also a concept in RavenDB called attachments, where you can store like small binary objects, like images or source files or whatever. Smuggler will allow you to, it's an equivalent to BCP or something like that in SQL Server, where you can suck down a bunch of stuff into a file and then use Raven Smuggler on the other server to stick it in another database. Great. I do believe so. I mean, that is a function of, there's a concept in NoSQL around MapReduce. And so I believe I've seen some posts on either Oranini's blog or on the Google groups about how to take these object-oriented concepts like inheritance and be able to map objects of different types that inherit from each other into a single query. I know if you search for on the blog or on the Google groups, you're going to find examples of how to create such a MapReduce function or a query that will allow you to combine those different types into a single view. I don't have any personal experience in that, but I do believe I've seen talk about it in the Google groups that it is possible. I'm not aware of any. I do know that when you're running RavenDB in embedded mode, it's kind of up to you how much you want to expose. I think in theory it would be possible to expose an endpoint out of your application so that you could then hit it with the management console, but I'm just speculating at this point. Right. Well, great. I certainly enjoyed the opportunity. I'm honored to be a part of this ASP.NET conference, and I hope you got some information out of, or at least whetted your appetite to learn more about RavenDB, and thank you very much for attending.